purpose of this short video, just like this series of 10 relatively short videos, is to present 10 reasons why I believe cessationism is wrong. This is number 5 in the series. Previously, we've seen number 1, cessationism is wrong because the miraculous gifts of the Spirit are part of a promise made to all generations. We see that in Acts chapter 2, especially verses 33 and 39. Number 2, cessationism is wrong because there's no biblical statement that any of the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. Number 3, cessationism is wrong because sign gifts and other gifts are false categories that are imposed upon the text to exclude some of the gifts. Number 4, cessationism is wrong because the apparently miraculous gifts were never restricted to the apostles. And now we're going to come to number 5 in my list of 10 reasons why cessationism is wrong. But before I do it, I do want to come again to 3 things that I think cessationists get right. I'm not trying to apply these are the only 3 things that cessationists get right, but these are 3 things that I believe cessationists get right and I appreciate for. Number 1, their right to expose Pentecostal and charismatic frauds, freaks, and false teachers. Number 2, they get it right in their love for and focus on the Bible, the Word of God. And then number 3, they get it right in their trust in the authority and the sufficiency of the Scriptures. How they define authority and sufficiency, I think, is sometimes problematic. We'll deal with that in another video. But their basic trust in the authority and sufficiency of the Scriptures, that's a good thing. Those are good things. Things to be grateful for among our cessationist brothers and sisters. But the main point of this short video is to give you point number 5 in my list of 10. Cessationism is wrong because the gifts of the Spirit were not only given to authenticate the apostles. Here's my point here. The gifts of the Spirit, including the more apparently miraculous gifts, were not given only to authenticate the apostles and their message. Now, certainly that's one of the reasons why they were given. That's plain from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I think it's also implied in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, and maybe even in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But according to 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans chapter 12, in those sections where they list the spiritual gifts, including some of the more apparently miraculous gifts, that the gifts were also given, not only given to authenticate the apostles, but also given for the edification, the building up of God's people. And so therefore, while the need for apostolic authentication is past, the need to build up God's people endures to the present day. Now again, I want to emphasize the point that part of the purpose of spiritual gifts, including the manifestly miraculous gifts, is to authenticate the ministry of the apostles. This is seen in passages such as 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, which says this, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Now, friends, the ability to perform some kind of sign and wonder was not the only authentication of an apostle. There were people who could bring forth false wonders, false miracles, or deceptive miracles. No. That wasn't to be the only thing. Paul says that even if somebody could perform such a things, but if they were to teach contrary to the gospel which he taught, they should be regarded as accursed. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, does introduce the concept of the sign of an apostle. And we find that even in the ministry of Jesus, he appealed to his own mighty works as one of the reasons why people would have faith in him, would set their belief in him. That's not a problem. Yes, it's a reason. But cessationists in general want people to think that's the only reason for the spiritual gifts. Or at least for the apparently miraculous gifts, the manifestly miraculous gifts. If authentication of the apostles is the only reason for such gifts, then when the apostles no longer need to be authenticated, then there's no longer any need for the gifts. But the Bible tells us that there are many more reasons for the gifts of the Holy Spirit beyond that of authenticating the apostles. Here's a few of those reasons. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says that the gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of all. Not just the profit of the apostles, and proving they really are apostles, but for the profit of all, for the congregation as a whole. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, he says that he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That was the function of the gift of prophecy as described by the Apostle Paul in the early church. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. And friends, I just think that the need for edification and exhortation and comfort has not passed among believers today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5 says that the gift of prophecy is so that the church may receive edification. That's a direct line from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 says that the gift of prophecy or spiritual gifts should be for the edification of the church, the building up of the church. That's what the word edification means, to be built up. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, it says that in the church, speaking in the context of spiritual gifts, that all things should be done for edification, for building up of the church body. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31, prophecy is so that all may learn and be encouraged. Now, one way that I have felt that cessationists have tried to incorrectly deal with these passages is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they have tried to make prophecy just simply good preaching. Friends, I don't think that that fits at all. And I would just challenge you to read the text with that in mind and see if it fits. And I think you'll see that it doesn't fit. The bottom line is simply this. The purpose for even the more manifestly miraculous spiritual gifts was more than to authenticate the apostles. It was to build up, to edify the church. To, as Paul says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14, to speak edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And if those needs remain, then it makes sense that those gifts of the Spirit would remain. There is no longer a need to authenticate apostles or prophets in a New Testament sense in the church. I would agree with that completely. In an Ephesians 2:20 sense, which says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. There was a foundational work of apostles and prophets that had to happen in the first century church. Ephesians 2:20 says it, and it makes sense that God would give a unique evidence of the apostles and prophets for that. However, that wasn't the only purpose for these manifestly miraculous gifts of the Spirit to be given to the church. There is still a great need for God's people to all be profited, all to be edified, all to be exhorted, all to be comforted, all to learn and be encouraged. Friends, here's the simple truth I'm trying to get across. Those needs still exist among the people of God today. And according to the New Testament, God gives those gifts of the Spirit, even those which are more apparently or manifestly miraculous, to help with those things. The needs haven't vanished, and God's provision for those needs through the gifts of the Holy Spirit hasn't ceased. Look, that's number 5 in my list of 10 things why I believe that the Gifts of the Spirit have not ceased. People give different names. I wouldn't call myself a Pentecostal. Maybe I would take the term charismatic. More than anything, I think of myself as a continuationist. I think that the gifts of the Spirit, including the more manifestly miraculous ones, have continued on to the present day. And God has a purpose for them in the church today. Why? Based on that simple point that the gifts of the Spirit were not only given to authenticate the apostles, therefore there is a continuing need and purpose for them in the church today. That's number 5 in my list of 10. Hope you can hang around and give me numbers 6 through 10 as well. But we love your feedback. We love your comments. We love your discussion. I know that Christians love to discuss these things, debate about them. I certainly can't reply to every comment or question, but we love for there to be a community sort of getting at these questions. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment or a question. Get back to us somehow with us, and we're going to continue on in the list as God gives us the ability. Thanks very much.